Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished fintech entrepreneur from the UK, but speaking to us currently from Portugal, Mr. Jamie Parmenter. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Ashutosh. Thanks for having me here. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Jamie is the Chief Executive Officer of Real Nifty, which is an NFT agency. So Jamie, before we get into discussing Real Nifty, tell me a little bit about your own background on your journey.
No, sure. I've had an interesting journey. I started off growing up in the music business. Music has always been a big passion of mine, and I followed that throughout my life. I started off in radio stations, working in those and some various media outlets, until I got to a stage where I had that entrepreneurial bug that just hit me and I wanted to follow something based on myself. So I started a website and social platform called Vinyl Chapters. And this was based around vinyl records. And what I would do to begin with was get people to hold up a record of their choice. They'd tell me a bit about why they chose that record. And then I'd put all this information in up onto a website and Instagram. It would be the photo, all the stories behind why they chose it. And it just really kicked off. It was fantastic. And I just really enjoyed seeing these stories and speaking to these people, and it just built this lovely community around that, which showed me the power of community. And on top of that, I grew this website into more of an online magazine. So I hired some writers, I got involved with writing a lot of content, and this really grew as well, and it was fantastic to see, and I started to monetize it. So from there, I really started getting more interested in music and technology, and how that kind of went together. And this is what introduced me basically to the Web3 industry and NFTs, because I wrote an article a couple of years ago about purchasing my first NFT, which was a music-based NFT, which came with a physical vinyl record. And I just took my audience through the process, what NFTs are, what Web3 is, how everything works. And it did really well. It got picked up by the BBC. So they quoted me on the BBC website. And from there, I was just thrown into the industry. I was suddenly on TV speaking about NFTs. I was connecting on LinkedIn by lots of fantastic people. And I just threw myself into learning as much as I could about it. And it just went from there. I suddenly found myself in the Web3 industry. The founder of Real Nifty contacted me, and he had just started the company by that point. We basically decided to grow it together. We were both on the same wavelength, where we wanted to improve the connectivity between physical and digital products, and Web3 was the best place to do that from.
Amazing. And let me then start with some very basic questions for our viewers and listeners. Help us understand, what is Web3 and how is it different from Web2?
No, that's a great question. And it's definitely one that I'm asked a lot, and what's needed. So so basically, Web3 has become a catch-all term for the vision of a new and better internet, a new internet where we have more ownership over what we create. And it's very decentralized. So I believe to understand Web3, you need to take it back and, like you said, understand Web1 and Web2 on top of that. So to begin with, if we just go briefly into it, because obviously we don't want to go too far down. But Web1 is basically the first iteration of the internet, which came around in the 1990s. It's kind of like a read-only internet where people would just view information. It was very basic. You couldn't really do much else on there. Then we get to the 2000s, which is where Web2 came along. Now, Web2 is more, you can do more internet. It's more read and write. People can go on there and actually put their own information and put their own blogs and this kind of thing. And then we have social platforms like, say, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And But the thing of Web 2 is these big companies where you put your information on there, where you put your content, they all own your content. They own that information. They can use it in any way they want. And this is where Web 3 basically differs. It's the next iteration, and it's basically read, write, learn, and earn and own. You can actually own the information you use on the internet, and you can actually earn money from it as well. And this is what's really exciting. And it uses cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. These are and NFTs. Those are probably the three things that people may have heard of, and the ground basis for what Web3 is and the technology it uses to create this new internet.
Amazing. And, you know, you said that we can own the information, we can commercialize it. Can you help us understand what are some of the opportunities and challenges as we transition from a Web 2 to a Web 3?
That's a great question. And I think that the main challenges at the moment is to really create that mass adoption. And for me, the reason it hasn't happened yet is we're still in the early stages for one. And for another one, it's not as usable as it could be at the moment. There's, for example, if you're going to open a crypto wallet, which is used to transfer cryptocurrency, where you can store and use NFTs and purchase NFTs, that kind of thing. It can be complicated for users to learn. So I think like a lot of people in the industry at the moment are trying to figure out ways to make it more usable for the masses and not scare them off, to really show them the power of how what we can do with this. For me, it's all about bringing ownership back to the majority of people that want to use it. And what I feel is it gives people that choice. If they want to own what they create, then Web3 is a great way to do this. For example, I'm sure people might have heard of NFTs. The biggest NFT that people might have heard is the most popular one is probably Bored Ape Yacht Club, which is basically images of apes. Now, what people have done with those, if they own one of them, they actually own the IP rights behind it. So someone, for example, in America, owned a Bored Ape, and they opened a restaurant based around the images of their Bored Ape. So they could actually use the IP to further their careers, to actually create something out of it that they could use and make money from. So again, that's just one example of how people have made money from owning NFTs and that kind of thing.
Wow. The next question that I have for you is that there is a lot of talk about the Web3 and the blockchain, and how the Web3 and blockchain will bring in complete transparency and decentralization. Help me understand how this will work.
Yeah, so I guess if I just give a brief explanation of what blockchain is, then it can probably help the listeners to understand exactly how we can have this transparency and decentralization. So blockchain is best compared to a digital ledger, and one that is basically immutable, which means it can't be edited once something is added. So this is actually done by storing blocks of data that are linked together, hence the name blockchain. And when it comes to decentralization, it's actually distributed all over the world. It's not like decentralized like other in a central server, which means that all that information is held by one server or one power, and you can access it, you can do what you want. So what this means is it's a lot safer. No one actually owns that information. Anyone can view every single transaction on that. So that means that you could go, if, for example, I bought some cryptocurrency, you would be able to go online and find that transaction and view it and see how I purchased that. So what it basically means is there's no intermediary between. For example, we don't need a bank to actually create these transactions. We do it over the blockchain, between just two people. So what this means is, how has this introduced transparency and decentralization? It basically gives the power back to the users. There's no hidden information. And for me, what it actually gives, not everyone wants this. Some people will, some people won't. So what it gives people is that choice. Some people might say, one, the easiness of having an intermediary like a bank in between transactions. And that's fine for them. But there's other people that don't want that. And what if people around the world don't have a bank? They want to just transact on their own. They want to be able to have that power to bring back, to create their own information and actually hold on to it.
Interesting. Then there's the third element, which is the metaverse. And someone was saying metaverse is really Web3 in three dimension. I'd love to get your thoughts on that, and then we will talk of NFT and real nifty.
Of course. Now, look, the metaverse is very interesting. And for me, I see it as a part of what Web3 is. So there's different factions. And because it's so early in the metaverse and what it actually is, it's actually difficult to define because the definition is actually changing over time. For me, at this point in time, I would say the metaverse is like a digital or virtual space or community that's graphically represented. So, and it continues to be there when you leave. So it's almost like a social hub in a way. People can dip in and dip out of it and really sort of form friendships. They can play games. They can do a lot of different stuff in there. And in a way, currently it's associated with Web3 technology. So the blockchain and everything, a lot of metaverses run on this. But for me, it doesn't really have to be. I see metaverses as it can be places like for people who play computer games. It could be Fortnite. It could be Roblox. It's a place where people go to, you know, really sort of form a community and be in a virtual space with other people around the world. And for me, that's what metaverse is. But it has also been picked up with Web3 and used with blockchain technology in some fantastic ways.
Fascinating. Now let's now move to the NFTs. You know, NFTs for my viewers is non-fungible tokens, but help me understand, Jamie, what is NFT? Why is it so hot? And please give me one or two examples.
Oh, of course. So yeah, for over a broad view, NFTs are basically digital certificates that show proof of ownership for any assets attached. Now, on a large scale, it's basically just a mark on a ledger that says someone owns something, and attached to it could be like a video, it could be an image, or it could even be linked to a physical item. Like I mentioned earlier on, my first NFT I bought had a physical vinyl record attached to it that was delivered to me in the real world. Right. And I think it's the first time on such a broad scale that we've been able to give value and proof of ownership to something digital, which is really exciting because it just opens up so many doors. So what this means is they can't be duplicated or copied. Each is unique and can be proven by using blockchain technology. So you can actually prove who owns a certain number of a digital asset, which if you think back to, say, in the real world with collectible cards, for example, everyone used to love Pokemon cards and some of those facts fetched thousands of pounds. You can think about that as the same thing, but in a digital aspect where you can actually prove, like, this is this token, this is this image, you own this, you know? And that's what can actually give some of these NFTs value if enough people want them or want the utilities that come with them. For example, it could be VIP access to a club in the real world or online if you have this NFT, if you own it, and it can be proven. So it's very exciting to see where it's going to go. And I feel we've just touched the surface on the use cases of NFTs. But for me, what excites me is linking to the physical and digital world. It's fascinating.
But Jamie, tell me, I mean, you know, let's take your example of the vinyl record that, say, is worth $1,000. And then you say that I will sell it in $1 pieces. And I say, okay, I want to buy 10 units. What do I do with those 10? I mean, you're still the owner.
Yeah, so what you can do, what would happen is someone would say create 10 of these vinyl records. It could be, if you think, when it comes to vinyl records, I guess we could compare it to the Beatles and the White Album back in, was it the 60s, where they numbered every single one of those records. So what would happen is, say, for example, number 10 would be worth a lot more than, say, number 1,050 because it's a lower number. So it can kind of give people the ownership of that, and people want to have like the low numbered ones, you know. That's one way in which people can actually make money, and people would then come to the owner of that, who would put up for sale, and then they would actually be able to buy that through NFT marketplaces, for example. And another thing that really makes NFTs valuable is the utilities. You can have what's linked to them, like unlockable content. Mm-hmm. So for example, there could be a famous artist that creates an NFT. Mm-hmm. And then as part of the utility of that NFT, the owner of that will be able to, have a one-on-one conversation with the artist once a month. Mm-hmm. Or they could have access to their exhibitions all over the world. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and it just opens the door to so many different ways you can use these NFTs. And it's very exciting. And like I said earlier, again, with IP rights, some NFTs give away IP rights to images that they have, so they can use them in any way that they want, use them in promotional material. As I said earlier, creating a restaurant, I mean, that was a fantastic way to do it. So it's great. It's great to see.
Amazing. And now tell me a little bit about Real Nifty. I know you mentioned that you're using music as one of the products, but what else are you doing in Real Nifty?
Yeah, so Real Nifty has been a real drive for me, and it's been such a passion. Like I said, we started the company a couple of years ago now, and it started out as an NFT agency where we would help creatives basically create NFT projects. We'd help them build strategies, drive concept development. And we have this full package approach of marketing, strategizing, web development and more, which we're really happy with. And we kind of concentrate on creators like art, music, fashion, those kind of areas. And we had a fantastic Mosaic NFT project last year with an artist called Matt Vey. It was these tiny mosaic pieces that we NFTs, and you could actually combine them into a grid, which meant you could put them in a design of your choice. And then that design would be sent to the artist, who would then recreate that design in the real world. So you would end up with a physical and digital matching piece. And what we love at Real Nifty is the physical and digital. That's our main thing. We want to help people that have that physical and digital connection and really combine them for great needs within the space. And this is why over the last 9-10 months or so, we've been creating our Real Nifty NFT marketplace, which has been a fantastic journey, and we're very happy with it at the moment. It's out now, and what it basically is a curated marketplace for physical and digital. And what helps us stand out is we have embedded delivery and logistics capabilities right into the marketplace. So say someone comes on and buys an NFT, they'll be able to redeem the physical painting, for example, straight away. All the information will come up for delivery, and you'll be able to just have it sent straight to you, which we haven't really seen in another marketplace. So it's been really fun, and we've had some five launch artists that have been amazing. We're starting off in the fine art space, so we really want to open those doors for everyone else, and we want it to have a community feel. So we're really trying to build that community and letting our users be able to contact these artists through the platform, so they can message them and ask them about the artworks. As with Web3, it's all about the stories. We want to hear the stories behind what's being created, and that's basically who we are.
Amazing. Time for two more questions. What are the risks associated with NFTs? And are these regulated like stock markets? Because, individuals' money is coming into this place.
Yeah, as you know, Ashutosh, there's a lot of money being thrown around here. And over the last year or so, we've gone from, say, a bull market to a bear market. Things have slowed down a lot. And yeah, before I say anything, just for everyone listening, this is not financial advice. So just
No, sure, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, there are risks. So obviously, only invest what you can afford to lose, like with anything in this space. But for me, if you buy an NFT or buy anything in Web3, buy them because you like them. Buy them because you want the artwork, or you want the utility behind it, or you want to support the artist or the creators that are creating this work. And don't just buy it to make money. I know some people have done that, and some people have made quite a lot of money. A lot of people have lost a lot of money. So I guess some people listening might have heard recently there was a crypto exchange that collapsed called FTX.
FTX,
so this was run by Sam Bankman-Fried. And for those of you who don't know, it was basically a crypto exchange that crashed because there was a lack of liquidity and there was mismanagement of funds. And this led to like a large number of withdrawals that basically they just couldn't cope with it, and it just completely collapsed, which has been horrendous. A lot of people have lost a lot of money. But I think when it comes to regulation, like you say, regulation for NFTs or Web3 is different all over the world in different countries. How I like to think of it is like the early stages of the internet, like that was unregulated. No one knew like how to regulate it until time. So I think what's going to happen over time is regulation is going to come in certain areas, but this should be seen as faith in the technology rather than being scared of. It's people really building what they want Web3 to be, people getting used to the technology, and governments, et cetera, trying to figure out how to regulate it so it makes it a good space for everyone and a safe space.
Fascinating. And my last question to you, Jamie, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing understanding of the Web3, about blockchain, about the metaverse and the NFTs, what would you say are three learnings you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from our conversation?
Okay. I think the first thing is don't be scared of new things. Just as Web3, embrace them. Really try and research yourself and find out exactly what you want to learn about it. And for me, the best places to do this would be Twitter Spaces, for example. These are fantastic audio rooms where you can just join in or just ask people, contact me. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm quite present on there, and just let me know what your questions are. I'm happy to help. Web3 is definitely one of the only spaces I've ever worked in where everyone is just so helpful and wants to teach and wants people to learn. You know, we want to grow this space and be very inclusive and help people go in that direction. So for me, that would be one of the things. The other one I would like people to know is create content and just reach out. Reaching out by creating content has really changed my life. It was one article that I wrote that threw me into this Web3 space that I had no idea I was going to love so much. And it's been a fantastic journey for me. So just put yourself out there. And number three would be buy an NFT, because that's how you learned. You learn to use technology by actually using it. And buy an NFT, but don't buy anything expensive. Just buy one that's free or that's very cheap, just so you can learn the process and just check out all the information out there and enjoy yourself at the end of the day.
Fantastic. And if I want to buy an NFT from Real Nifty, we can buy one, is it?
That's right. Yeah, you can come. We've got lots of different NFTs on there. And just head over to realnifty.xyz and you can come and have a look at our
marketplace. I'm going to try it myself then. So, and on that note, Jamie, and your three wonderful lessons, don't be scared of new things, embrace them, create content, and buy an NFT for you to learn. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your amazing journey, about Web3. I think your explanations of Web3 and how they compare with a Web1 and a Web2 was quite amazing. Thank you for talking to me about the blockchain, about the metaverse. And finally, thank you so much for talking to me about NFTs. Thank you again. Thanks. And good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.